Time for the FM Talk 106.5 Offshore Fishing Report. Brought to you by our friends at HMS Marine Electronics for all your fishing technology by major brands like Garmin. You'll be supporting a local online retailer that offers all the price savings and perks of the big box stores and more, in the industry since 2004, in the business since 2013. Garmin and EMA certified. Visit HMSMarineElectronics.com or on Facebook, HMS Marine Electronics, featuring Garmin ultra high definition scanning sonar with stunningly clear images. Side view and clear view clarity means the fish have nowhere to hide. Spring on our buddy Blake Michaleski of the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club, and let's talk about some of that offshore fishing. Hey, Blake.
Hey, how's it going, Sean?
It's good. Let's, I'll have to say that condition-wise, last weekend, pretty good, probably the second best yet of snapper season. Did you get out? You get to do any snapper?
Oh, of course not. I had stuff to do at our house. I went to Louisiana, actually, did a little bass fishing. So,
how'd you do?
So. I did some of that live baiting because we're out in that kind of pressured, so it's always fun to get a bite.
There you go. Let's talk about back here and the offshore. What reports were coming in from last weekend?
It seems really and from what I've been talking to some of the charter boats, the tuna fishing has been pretty slow. In fact, some of the more guys that know what they're doing are having one and two fish trips, but a lot of that's around the moon phase, and you come in and out of cycles, and so just in the last day or two, we've been seeing a few more getting caught. When they start referring to them as unicorns, the bite's been tough. So they said they found a few, but some big tunas out of Venice, in that 150, 160 pound range, some really nice ones, some of the charter boats down there. And of course, the week before we had Mississippi tournament. This past weekend was an off weekend on the big series, and I'm sitting in Destin, Florida right now with waiting on the Emerald Coast one to start up. So we'll have some good reports for next week for sure on the billfish side.
Yeah, let's talk about billfish here and getting out for those of us in the outboard boats and the monkey boats out there. And we got it. We've talked live baiting and how live baiting's changed the way blue water offshore fishing's done around here. But the good old days of dragging lures, man, putting some plastic out the back. What do we need to know about that?
Yeah, Sean, it used to be the only way people really billfished around here. Then when you start building oil rigs and realizing these fish just post up, and it's a lot easier to target the one with a live bait once you've been seeing. But say you're fishing off to the east around from, say, the nipple down towards the elbow and the steps area, there are no fads, there are no oil rigs. You've got open water, and you're fishing kind of following bottom contours in that near the ledge right there, 600 feet of water, so is a good contour to kind of stick with. But we've always heard, well, big diesel boats raise billfish. Well, so do outboard boats. It can be argued up and down till people are red in the face about which one does it better, but it can be done on the monkey boat. And I think part of it is, it's, if you think about like selling something, you got to get someone's attention. So you have to get this fish's attention. So that's why we put out a spread of lures versus, say, just one, and you're offering them a selection. But there's some ways about it. It's not just grabbing five, thinking, oh, these look good, and putting them back. Going into, you're trying to create an illusion of what's going on back there. And on these big boats, you see these big dredge teasers, or like a big umbrella rig, or some people may be familiar with the Alabama rig in the bass fishing world. It's to mimic a ball of bait and a school of bait. And oftentimes they'll rig it where there's one or two kind of trailing back behind it, and he's easy pickings, or your flatline lures back there. But my small boat kind of go-to setup, like two big lures off the corners, and they're going to act more as teasers. They're going to create a lot of commotion. And then back, I go to smaller lures the further I go back, and typically less action. Like, I want my furthest back lure to be a bullet. Something that's just very lazy, cruising along, easy pickings.
Okay, so that is painting that picture you talked about. So the here comes the marlin, it comes up, it sees all this activity, here's bait on the surface. Those making noise closer to the boat, those are less preferable. They got the attention, but oh, look at this straggler back here.
Right, and sometimes, we'll run lures that are, and you need to match it to your main line size. So say if you're just running a set of 50s, which is pretty big tackle for a small boat, for an outboard boat, say you have a pair of 50s off your corners, and even if you may have 80-pound line on it, which is very common now, especially with the braid backing, so you can go 80-pound top shot. So you can run your drag up 10, 12 pounds or so on strike. And so that's enough to hub that hook up, but on these short ones, we're typically running a bigger hook. So you got to kind of match your hook to your drag that you can apply and this and that. So you may have some bigger lures with lighter hooks, heavier hooks. There's a lot of little details in this, but the big thing is to create that illusion, get that, paint that picture of there's something feeding behind the boat. And I tell people, do not be afraid to put something really big out there, even without a hook, just towing it off a rope, like a bowling pin chain or surface squid chain teaser, which are popular on your big boats.
Okay, so, and you're naming a bunch of things as people are getting into this, and so many more people getting into offshore fishing here along the Gulf Coast. People are going, okay, I got to take notes here, and I got to get into this and that. I mean, this is kind of daunting for folks to walk in and start building that tackle box.
It can be very, and I've been fortunate to have good relationships with vendors, and I've gotten little flaws and blemished models that they're like, hey, go pull this and let me know what it does. So you get to learn, and during my time in the tackle shop, I got to see what was beat up and chewed up and needed to be re-rigged and re-skirted. So yeah, that too. So when people are getting into it, that's why a lot of them do just opt for a live bait strategy only, because it's very straightforward, very simple. But if you're fishing open water and you need to cover water, sitting there bumping around with a live bait isn't covering water, unless you found a fish. So you got to put some out there, but I tell people to keep it simple. Don't put any more out than you and your crew can handle. And if one of them goes off and you get a bite on one, everyone kind of needs to know what to do as far as clearing lines, or say, if the flat, or if the rigger lure gets hit, we're going to leave the long out, maybe go for a double. Especially like white marlin and sailfish, they run in packs, and you can get a double. And it happens around here.
Okay, but that's something you have to, learn through experience too, right? You could read books and listen to Blake, but on any given boat with any given rig on any given day, that may change.
Right, but that is it. Is that, all lures work. People say, oh, that one doesn't work. They all work. You just got to pull it over a hungry fish. But I think there's a lot of little things that can increase your odds, and one of those being color selection. And I have a general rule, and that's, I say there are three colors of lures. There's darks, brights, and naturals.
Okay.
It's kind of how I phrase it. Put your darks in close. That way, when you have all this prop wash and all this white water, they stand out. And then further back, I tend to have one that's the craziest electric-looking color you can go with, another one that may be, say, all white, and then on my further back stuff, it's going to be purples and silvers or blues and silvers, something that has more of a natural appearance to it. And so a lot of times those fish will come in hot on the close lures, they'll fade back, and then they'll eat that one that's just easy to grab.
And so you're saying more colors and more selection than the blue and white Islander.
You could go out there and pull five blue and white Islanders and probably kick everyone's butt. But, it's not presenting a variety. And so they may come, that might not be blue and white Islander day. But I tell you, the reason why I think blue and white Islanders work so well is not only they have that contrast from the blue and the white, it's not that it's blue and white, it's just there's good contrast, but it's also a lazy lure. It has a very gentle swimming motion that's just easy to grab.
So back to what you're
a big ballyhoo.
Back to what you're telling us. All right. Well, this is good, and this starts. It starts a lot of people. Okay, going to buy a few lures and start pulling them and start refining and building their tackle box. And speaking,
and you go into these tackle shops, especially ones down here towards the beach. Any of them, those guys they'll hand you a couple of tried and trues. They'll dig into someone else's tackle box, so to speak, and put you in the right direction.
That's good. That's good. Because, for a lot of folks, this is new. And speaking of which, somebody who is starting to try their hand at this offshore fishing, there's a great resource for information, tournaments, people to fish with, learn from, and that's Mobile Big Game Fishing Club.
Right. If you're just getting into this, even just joining the club for the sake of coming to the tournament parties, and we have membership meetings each year, several of those with food and guest speakers who can actually bring up that learning curve, and then you get to hang out with other like-minded anglers and learn from them as well.
So tell folks if they want to get signed up. I mean, they can get signed up for tournaments, or like you said, just get signed up to be a member and come out to the events. How do they do that?
Sean, they can go to mbgfc.org or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thembgfc. And don't forget, we have our makeup for our Memorial Day tournament. It's coming up on June 28th, 29th. We're partnering with the Pensacola International Tournament. So sign up at there. You're going to sign up for that one at their website. But then you can leave it. You can check out at our facility or theirs at Pritchard Yacht Club. I'm sorry, Pensacola Yacht Club. And then we can, you can weigh in either location.
All right. So details online. That's coming up. Blake, as always, I appreciate it. And it gives me a reason to go out and buy some more tackle. I like that. I'm just going to say, honey, it was Blake's suggestion that I go out and get some more lures.
I'll take the fall for you.
Good.
No problem.
Good. I need it. Thank you. Offshore Fishing Report brought to you by HMS Marine Electronics for all your fishing technology by major brands like Garmin. You'll be supporting a local online retailer that offers all the price savings and perks of the big box stores and more, in the industry since 2004, in the business since 2013. Garmin and NEMA certified. Visit HMSMarineElectronics.com or on Facebook, HMS Marine Electronics, featuring Garmin ultra high definition scanning sonar with stunningly clear images. Side view and clear view clarity means the fish have nowhere to hide.